It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Genevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome into the show. I'm Deputy Janovic, and my special guest host today and for Dave Noriega is Connor Boyack. Good morning, Connor.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Good. You're joining us remotely from our, is it our Lehigh division of KSL News
That's
Radio?
That's right. We're representing Lehigh.
Remind our listeners what it is you do for a living normally.
So, yeah, normally. Abnormally, I run a group called the Libertas Institute, which is kind of a think tank here where we change hearts, minds, and laws in favor of freedom. So we're often up at the Capitol working with elected officials to try and do some good.
Did you watch the Jazz game last night?
I watched social media, so I watched everyone else watching the Jazz game.
It was
crazy.
I was so excited to see the Jazz win last night. So thankful they're not in a drought when the rest of the state is.
Utah's top local story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
Well, one thing is certainly clear about our water crisis. It is not getting any better. And here's what the governor said at what I thought was a much anticipated news conference yesterday afternoon about the drought.
As all of you know, we are experiencing the worst drought in decades here in the state since at least 1956, if not the worst in our state's recorded history. As I've said before, 100% of the state of Utah is in drought. Most of the state is in exceptional drought.
Exceptional drought, which sounds worse than drought.
Yeah, it's that's not a good thing.
Really, really, really bad drought. So, in my opinion, I was expecting the governor to come out strong with some sort of a state plan to deal with this exceptional dire drought we're in. And I walked away from that news conference feeling like things were clear as mud. I had anticipated some sort of a cohesive, comprehensive plan from our governor, from our lawmakers, and really just feel myself drowning in confusion over the entire plan, if there even is one this morning. So, Connor, I want to dive into that with you today, right out of the gates. What are your first thoughts?
You know, Debbie, I was in Texas yesterday. I've been traveling quite a bit in recent weeks. And I talked to a gal there who, for the first time in like a year, had finally been at an event. She'd been traveling. And she said, you know, after all this time, I'm having to relearn how to be social. I'm having to kind of reorient myself. That's how I feel about Governor Cox. A lot of us are having to remember that we can't look to a governor to solve all of our problems. We've gotten very used to kind of executive orders and command and control
in
top
pandemic
down.
Times.
Yeah, right. And so now we expect, hey, Governor Cox, go solve the water problem. Like, I think this is bigger than just something he alone and his office can do.
In the coming weeks, down the road, in the near future, the state plans to spend a big pile of money.
This is government.
We've got millions to spend, but stand by for details of what that means for your family. That's what I heard yesterday when the governor spoke from Capitol Hill. Let's listen to about a minute 15 seconds of what he said from that news conference, Connor, and then let's dive into it head first.
Now, I'm really grateful for the legislature who has set aside $280 million for water projects, including $100 million for conservation. And our teams and the legislative teams have been meeting together, discussing how we will be spending that money. There will be more announcements to come, but I can tell you there will be a heavy emphasis on metering. Of secondary water, something that we haven't done much of here in the state of Utah. And so you will see an increased emphasis in using that funds to increase metering. We have short-term projects that we're talking about today as far as what we need to do right now to cut back on our use. But we need to really start focusing, and we will have more announcements in the coming weeks about long-term projects, projects that include metering of secondary water, projects that include eliminating existing land landscapes and moving to xeriscaping, as well as new construction, making sure we have less park strips, less unnecessary grass in areas that don't need it. And again, we're in the planning phase on those, but we will have more announcements to come as we work with the legislature on those issues.
Your initial reaction, Connor, to the governor's words?
Do you remember about a year ago when there was scarcity of toilet paper? Did people want to buy less or more toilet paper, right? Or a few weeks ago when a gasoline crisis, right? People were filling literal plastic grocery bags with gasoline. So when we hear that there's a water shortage, right, people are probably going to say, oh, I should use more while it's there so I can keep my lawn green. I don't know that telling people that we have a shortage is going to psychologically encourage them to use less.
I feel like these plans should have been in place by now. Secondary water metering should have been in place by now. The idea of xeriscape, we are so far behind the rest of the West, it's embarrassing. And I know people don't like to talk about rocks in their front yard as opposed to Kentucky bluegrass, but we should have been talking about this years ago, when our governor was a lawmaker, and lawmakers should have been dealing with this, and they want to push it off in many cases to the local water districts, the local municipalities. We only have so much water to go around as a state. You just have to drive by Echo Reservoir to see how low it is. Pineview Reservoir, we talked to them this week. They are in dire circumstances right now where they may be shutting off irrigation water by August. This cannot be a municipality or water district only problem. So we are so far behind, we can't wait a few more weeks to figure out what they're going to do with this pile of money they're sitting on up there. And I was hopeful that we would hear more swift action because we're in this dire drought right now. He talks about xeriscape. Hey, it's tough to start xeriscaping in the middle of summer. So, and eliminating parking strips right now. So the governor's solution is, well, we got to get used to making yellow lawns great again.
Make yellow lawns great again. And we want to let people know that it's going to be okay to have a yellow lawn this year. We want all of our friends, HOAs and cities and towns to know that this is one of those years where it's going to be okay.
That's not a plan. That's not a comprehensive plan. It's just you're going to watch your lawn die.
Debbie, I remember a story about a decade ago. There was a woman in Orem, an elderly woman, whose lawn did die and weeds started to grow.
And
the cops were called on her. The cops showed up and roughed her up, this poor old woman. And so, look, government is reactive. It's going to take a while for all these local laws to change to allow xeriscaping. Some of us, I'm raising my hand over here, have been pushing for secondary water metering for a while. Government is not known for being proactive and forward-looking generally. So unfortunately, it is reactive. It is going to take a while. But here's why secondary water metering is so important. For all the kind of soapbox and pleas and encourage people to do stuff, what's actually going to change behavior is when people have to pay for what they use. When, you know, churches and companies and others can water their lawn when it's raining and face, you know, no added cost of doing so, they have no incentive to change. But when you see your water bill, like, hey, if you want a green lawn, in the desert, in a drought, in July, fine. It'll cost you $4,000. Do you really want to do that?
And what you're talking about is a secondary water free-for-all that's been going on. And that's 100%. A lot of the cities allow for people to irrigate their lawns with secondary water. It's untreated. You don't want to drink this stuff. It's not culinary water.
Right.
It's super cheap, and it's been unmetered. So those of us who are in, you know, a metered situation pay a ton more to water their lawns in the summer and are inspired to cut back when you get that huge water bill. Well, secondary water, they're paying $10-15 a month. It's cheap.
Yep.
In the heat of the summer. But look, we needed a comprehensive plan in place for metering and secondary water years ago. I wanted to hear from the governor, what are you going to do about all the schools that are watering all these acres of grass?
Mm-hmm.
What about the golf courses? You're going to say, well, those are municipalities. And those. What is the comprehensive plan? What is our plan going forward into July when it's hotter, into August when cities and, you know, water districts are having to cut off the water supply in that secondary water irrigation category.
As much as we want to see the governor stand up and announce a plan, you know, we do have a more decentralized government. We do have this concept of local control. And so the water districts do have a degree of autonomy. So do the local governments. The governor can't come in and just say, you know, here's what everyone is now forced to do. So we may not love the idea that different jurisdictions are going to act differently, some more lethargically or proactively than others. But that's the reality of the system of the government that we have. I think it's a feature and not a bug that you kind of have all those different people that get to make decisions. But it does lead to, when we have something, a crisis like this, a drought, you know, we don't have the dictator standing up and saying, I hereby order all these things to happen.
Do you find it ironic at all that the state, which has said, look, the water districts and the municipalities should be dealing with this, now has an online form where you can go in and fame or shame and report your neighbor for how their lawn looks? We found a website under that the state runs where you can fame or shame your neighbor and how their lawn looks. We're going to dig into this straight ahead. So are you okay with state government asking for your complaints about your neighbor's lawn? Give us a call and weigh in. 801-575-TALK. 801-575-TALK. Next.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.